up, our friends from the internet? We are back again with the Tech Yeah Games podcast. I'm your host, Tony, here with my amazing co-host, Leo.
Yep, I'm happy to be here yet again, and this week we got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, I'm happy to have you here, Leo. And there is quite a bit of games news this week. Some of it more important than others, but...
As is usually the case.
Yeah, but some stuff that's kind of relevant to our interests, which I think is cool. And compared to this past, you know, month or two where there's been... quite a lack of gaming news relevant to our interests.
It's been a little dry, hasn't it?
Yeah, I've had to talk about Xbox a lot. I was doing the, I was going over the website and I was like looking at all the posts and updating some because for some reason the code had changed on the embedded player, and I was just like, man, there's a lot of fucking Xbox like headline game, like, you know, we have shows like named after Xbox stuff, and I'm just like, this is pathetic. Like, you know, it's so sad.
This is all wrong.
Yeah,
we've never talked this much about Halo before.
Yeah, how many fucking pictures of Master Chief can I put on our website? It's gross.
It's turning into a Master Chief, like,
fan
slash
site.
Fiction page. Yeah.
So, enough about needlers. Leo, what have you been playing this week?
So this week I got really pretty deep into Ghost of Tsushima. I know I had talked a little bit, I had started it last time we spoke, but I've played a lot this week, and the more I play it, the more I like it. It's really an interesting game. It's still, my fundamental thoughts on it haven't changed much, which is it's a very competent open world game, and it's not doing anything particularly new in that front. But that said, that's a formula that works for me. Like, I do like that formula of, like, just a lot of shit on the map, and you can just go and get upgrades and move the story along when you want. It's fun to just run around this really beautiful open world. And there's also a lot of stuff that makes me laugh in this game that's very, like, counter to the story. Because he's, like, this brave, noble samurai lord, right? Mm. And he's, like, saving people from the evil Mongols, which, again, the story is pretty weak overall. And he as a character is totally just so basic. He has almost no personality other than, like, I'm very noble, which is not a compelling characteristic to me. But what's funny is you can just destroy things. One of my favorite things about the game is any house you see... we'll have a wooden paper door, which I assume is based on how doors were then. Mm-hmm. And you could just chop through it. And it's so funny because you're going to, like, help these poor people who are just, like, pillaged by Mongols. And instead of opening the door, I'll just chop it open and walk in. And they're like, oh, we're so glad you're here. And then I'll, like, steal all their shit in their house because you have to get items to, like, upgrade all your gear. You know how it is.
That seems rude.
I know. I just love this idea of this noble samurai chopping open someone's door, going in, like, raiding their house, and then talking to them and be like, oh, I'm so sorry you were horribly mistreated. Let me help you.
I'm here to save you.
Yeah, exactly. So it's fun. But there's a lot of things the game does really well, and number one is the combat is great. Once you unlock all the different stances, I never get tired of just taking on a bunch of people. And it's gotten to the point now where it's very easy. Almost too easy, I would say. And I'm playing it on normal. So maybe I'll even push it up to hard, because it's like, once you get some power, you're almost unkillable. There's so many different items you can use, and you can just take out hundreds of people, but it's very fun and very satisfying. So yeah, I don't know. I'm surprised by how sort of deep it got its hooks into me. Part of it might just be because it's been a while since I've sort of played a game like this, and even if it's not the best one, it's quite compelling, and it is gorgeous. It's fun to look at. Like I said last week, though, I do wish they had just spent another month or two just working on bugs, because it's really buggy. Never crashes, but it's so often stupid shit will happen, and it just looks ridiculous.
Yeah, and I saw a couple of good clips where, like, the horse didn't animate, and it was just,
yeah,
like,
there's a lot of stuff like that. Yeah, and it's sort of lucky in the point where it rarely is game breaking, and usually it's just funny. But there have definitely been times where, like, I'm trying to sneak up on someone, he'll get, like, stuck on the geometry in a weird way, and I'll get seen, and that's frustrating. And it does suck because there's so much that's really polished that it makes this stuff like that really stick out. And I just wish they had another 3 or 4 months to just work on the bugs. But yeah, anyway, all of that aside, I'm really enjoying it. One thing I love about it is you can unlock an ability where to avoid fall damage, you have to hit circle at the right time and you roll.
That's fun.
And it sounds so simple, but I hate fall damage in games like this because anytime there's, like, a cliff, you're like, ugh, I can't just jump off the cliff. I have to, like, find a way down or, like, climb down, and it's just annoying. But this way you can jump, and then if you time it right, it actually turns it into, like, a little mini game every single time. I don't know if this is the first game that's done that, but I really like that. I think it's cool. It just sort of gamifies fall damage in a way that it both mitigates the frustration that you feel with it, and then also kind of makes it fun. And then when you fail, you laugh because you just fall on your face and die. And you're like, oh, I didn't roll at the right time.
Yeah.
So
I don't, I mean, I think all games should let you break the movement. You know what I mean? It's just such a fun thing. You know, like, I think that's what makes like Symphony of the Night and Bloodstained so good. Is like at the end, yeah, you have the movement completely broken and you can just fucking go haywire on the castle.
Yeah, totally.
And I think Fall Damage is like that, right? Like, it's like, I just want to jump off these cliffs, like get where I need to go. And it's like Fall Damage is so counterintuitive. Like, I don't need reality. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, like this is
a game like this.
This shit
like,
ain't real, bro. Like, let's go crazy. Yeah.
And there, yeah, totally. And there's nothing more frustrating than when you're like exploring and you're like, ooh, the point of interest is down there. And it's, you're on this big ass cliff and you're like, ah, now I have to like go all the way around to get down off. Like, it's just dumb and that's not fun. And just let me jump down there.
Yeah.
Even if you turn it off and it says like a message, it's like, hey, this is going to break immersion and make the game really weird. Are you sure you want to turn off Fall Damage? And they just hit yes. Like, even that, they acknowledge like, hey, we would prefer you didn't play it this way, but go ahead if you want.
Oh, that's,
like, I always respect that.
That's one of the things I really like about Final Fantasy 14 is that, like, no matter how far you fall, it takes you to one health.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And so, totally. It's fun. And then when you fall really far and then you get to one health and then a monster attacks you, you're like, no!
Yeah. You're like, damn it. God, no. Yeah. But I think it's a smart way to do it, right? Because it.
Yeah.
It's not so, like, prohibitive, like, having, you know, fall damage just kill you all the time.
Yeah, it, like, punishes you, but in more of a fun way. And then it's to the point where I love jumping off really high things. I'm, like, fall for so long and then get to 1 HP and your HP just, like, ticks back up. I love that. I think you're right. That is a sort of an elegant implementation of that. But, yeah, I'm really enjoying the game a lot, despite it sort of, it's, you know, again, I keep saying this, it's not a very deep game, but it's a very fun game. And I do like it a lot. And I think the more they update it to take out some of those performance issues, the better it'll be. But yeah, so far, I'm enjoying it a lot more than I expected.
Yeah, sadly, that's one of those games I think I will end up playing a bunch of patches later, like I did with their other games, the Infamous games. You know, like,
yeah,
you know, they started showing up on PS Plus and stuff, and I enjoyed them, but they weren't games I really sought out when they were new, you know.
Yeah, totally. I think that's fair. Again, like, this is a competent game for sure. It's quite fun and good, but it's not pushing any boundaries. I think getting this on sale would be certainly a good investment. But yeah, speaking of falling, I also played Fall Guys a bunch, just like everyone else in the world.
Yeah, I played a lot of Fall Guys too. Did you play on PlayStation?
No, I was playing on Steam.
I wish I played it on Steam.
Why?
Because so I played the beta on Steam and I really enjoyed it. And then I downloaded it on PlayStation. I actually bought like the skin pack so I could be a pirate man. So I was like, it's a free game. I'll give him $10, right? And yeah. And there's a lot of input lag on PlayStation. Oh. And maybe
That's really problematic.
Maybe you don't notice if you've only played it on PlayStation, because it does kind of feel like it's part of the physics. You know what I mean? Like, oh, you got to load up for the jumps. You know, like, it kind of makes sense like when you're just playing it on PlayStation. But having played it on PC, I was like, this is completely wrong. Any of the grab people events, I just could not grab people because I just couldn't get the timing right. I'd run into them, I'd hit R, and then like I'd grab after, you know, and it was driving me crazy. But I still think it's a great, fun game. You know, it just has some kinks.
Oh, totally. Yeah, no, it's quite fun. It's very compelling. And like you said last week, it's definitely, you'd start one, you're like, next time I'll get it. However, the fact that every other game completely crashes and kicks you out because the servers are completely fucked is certainly irritating. But I understand that's temporary.
Yeah, that game definitely blew up. Too bad for what it was.
Totally. It made me think a lot, like, from the developer's perspective, because it would be absolutely absurd to plan, you know, for your game to blow up and, like, I don't know exactly how it works, but make sure your server's ready to handle, you know, 500,000 people or whatever the numbers are. Of course not, especially for a smaller studio. But at the same time, best case scenario is your game does blow up and then all of a sudden, you know, no one can play because your servers were not prepared. I was kind of thinking from a business perspective what the best way to plan for that would be, if it's even possible. Because it is a best case scenario, but it also really does suck when you pay for a game and then, you know, you get two in and you're doing really well and then you just get kicked out.
Yeah.
It's like, ah, come on. That's like basic functionality that needs to work.
Yeah. Sadly, I am debating on buying it on Steam again. Like, because even it's worth the, it's fun to play. Like, it's a fun game.
It is fun.
And, you know, like I said last week, like, my girlfriend was over and just handing her the controller and just being like, just press X to jump, you know? And she tried one and died like eliminated the first round, and she's like, I'll let him try again. And she was like 10 rounds in and just being like, let me try again. You know, because it's just that game, right? Where it's just so simple. That it's so fun to just keep kind of attacking, you know?
And one thing I do like about it is it's absolutely immensely entertaining to watch someone else play because it just looks so funny. Yeah. And when you're doing it, it's kind of frustrating. You feel like an idiot. But when someone else is playing and they fuck up, it's so funny. That's a great example of a game that's almost more fun to watch than to play, which is kind of neat.
Well, and, you know, I think the what's great about it, too, is, like, the fun is in losing. You know what I mean? Like, which I think is really nice, right? Like, you don't have to be good at it to create, like, moments in it, you know?
Totally.
Like, watching someone get, like, go from first place to being stuck in a corner and shoved into last place is, like, so hilarious that, you know, it like, that's the those are the moments in that game. And being able to have, you know, people with no experience in games or whatever, like, create those moments is pretty genius, you know?
Yeah, I agree. That's a good point. It does feel almost good to lose.
Yeah.
In some ways. And it just, yeah, the physics engine and just the way the characters were designed is very, very smart because it's just funny. And almost like the jankier it is, the funnier it is, which is sort of a neat, like, pass for them. Especially if you're not that mad when you lose. Like, all of that put together is very smart. And it makes it a really fun game to play, even if you lose.
And the games are completely unfair. So it's like, there's no like, oh, if only I was better, you know? The team games.
Yeah, there's not a huge skill ceiling.
No, the team games are totally unfair, right? Because you have no control over what happens in those. And like, you ever play like the hexagon drop one where you run around?
No, that's, I want to do that one. It looks so fun, but that's the only one I haven't done.
So a lot of times that's the final game, right? Like the last
one. Yeah, that's probably why then.
So I played it a few times. And, you know, like, the last time I played it, like, I was crushing it. I was the only person on, like, a high layer.
Nice.
And I was just killing it. I was gonna win. But, you know, I ran out of tiles on the top layer, and as soon as I fell, I just fell completely to the bottom, right? Because there's just no more tiles.
Yeah, you just fell through all
below
of them.
The that section sucks. Where I fell, right? And it was like, you know, that was the last elimination, but it's like, that's how it works, you know. It's not fair. Yeah. It's not designed to be fair. It's supposed to be.
It's not a skill-based game, really.
It's supposed
to
be some bullshit. Yeah, like
totally.
Yeah, so
that's a good point. That's funny. Yeah, no, I like it a lot. I'll play it some more. It's definitely not, you know, something I'll be playing all the time, but I do like it, especially once they make it so you can actually finish a game. That'll sure be nice.
Yeah.
And then the last game I played, which we've already talked a little bit about, was Chrono Trigger. Which I got this hankering to start Chrono Trigger over again, and I pulled out my DS, and I had that cart, and I did a new game plus, so I have all the armor and shit I earned from my, you know, 100% playthrough, like, 7 years ago, and I just started over, and I'm just running through, having fun, killing everything with one hit, and, yeah, I don't know. There's not a lot to say about Chrono Trigger that hasn't already been said, other than it's awesome, and the music is so good, and I really love Chrono Trigger.
Yeah,
so,
it's quite a game.
It is, yeah. It's definitely aged very well, I think, in a lot of ways.
Yeah, incredibly. You know, there's only a few games I feel like that you could really go back to and be like, wow, this is, like, so well made, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like Final Fantasy Tactics is one of those games. I feel like Super Mario World is one of those games. And, like, Chrono Trigger is, like, there's just, or maybe even, like, Symphony of the Night, because I love that game so much. But
no, for sure,
Symphony of the Night, definitely. There's really only a few examples where you can be like, this game is old and does not feel in any way dated.
Yeah.
You know, like, it just plays as good today as it used to.
Yeah, I agree. That is not easy to do. Link to the Past, too, maybe. That one's pretty, that one feels like a very modern Zelda game.
Yeah, it's funny. These are all from, like, the same era. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's all these, like, 16-bit games.
Yeah, not a lot of early 3D games fit in that category. There's a few, but not many.
Yeah, it's kind of this mastery over 2D that kind of, kind of a lot of, and Link to the Past is that kind of isometric fake 3D, but it's not 3D, right?
No, not at all. So those are the games I played. I jumped around and had a lot of fun. But what did you play this week?
So
probably not Chrono Trigger.
Not Chrono Trigger. I did play a lot of Fall Guys too. That's probably most of what I played this week. So
So we must be getting pretty good.
Yeah, I'm really good. I haven't won yet though, which is, I've gotten so close so many times. But like I said, playing on PS4 is tough. Like I really am.
Yeah. That's too bad.
I've leveled up a bunch and I've bought skins and I'm still just like, maybe I'll just pay another $20 and play it on Steam because it's just so much better. And it looks so much better. It's really hard for me to play games on PlayStation now because I'm so used to PC games.
I agree. Like, you get used to it after a while. Like I was saying, with Ghost of Tsushima, it is beautiful and it runs quite nicely for a PS4 game. And I do have a PS4 Pro, which probably helps a little bit, but I totally agree. When you first do it, you're like, God damn it.
Yeah, playing Bloodborne again on my base PS4 is just like, oh my god, like this is really...
Yeah, that one's pretty rough, even when it came out, that was rough.
Like, this is really rough, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, there's games that play better, like, you know, playing Horizon again, I was like, oh, this feels fine, you know, like, not great, but fine. But yeah, playing Bloodborne was just like, wow, this is fucked, you know? So I played a lot of Fall Guys.
Not optimized.
A lot of Fall Guys we already talked about. I did play a lot of Samurai, but I played in Final Fantasy 14.
There you go.
That's a little different.
Two different takes on it. Yeah, I think
Samurai experience.
Very, very different, yeah.
And then I tried some of the new season of Warzone, actually.
Oh, cool.
So they added some stuff. There's a new, what I played is this new solos mode. It was called Solo Buyback, I think they call it. And so have you played Warzone at all?
No, I just played it at launch. I haven't played it since.
Okay, well, you collect money, like ammo, you know, like falls out of the chest and it's on the ground. So anytime you die with $4,500, you respawn, right? So there's no gulag. There's none of that. It's just like, if you collect some money, you'll respawn for the first like 20 minutes. So until the game's almost over. And so it's fun. It's a fun way to like kind of stay in the game. If you play smart and reasonably safe, like you can kind of get enough money before you decide, like, I'm going to go get a little spicy, you know? And then if you die, you can kind of be like, all right, I'm going to jump to the edge again, try and find some money. And then kind of dive in for a little more spicy action. You know, you can kind of pace yourself for, you know, if you're kind of in survival mode or if you want to get nuts. And so I think that I thought that was pretty fun. I thought it was a good mode. I thought some of the changes to the map were cool. They opened the stadium. They added a train like Apex. Now you can jump on a train.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So it's a pretty cool new season. I don't like the new skins and operators and stuff that they added, but that's kind of neither here nor there. I'm glad they're expanding on the game. I do feel like
It sounds like they're taking it pretty seriously. Like they're really pushing it pretty hard, which is nice.
Yeah, I do feel like cheating's a big issue in that game right now. But you know, what are you gonna do? I think all these games have a lot of cheaters. I think we've realized, even you know, games that are basically hacking your system to stop cheaters seem to have problems with cheaters. So I don't know kind of how you...
Fucking aimbots, bro.
I don't know what you do with that. Yeah, definitely some fucking aimbots. yeah, but that's pretty much what I've played this week. So I guess we'll just jump into the news after a quick break. Leo, do you have a good break?
Yeah, I've been trying to clean my mechanical keyboard, so I had to take all the keys off, and I was just scrubbing away, and it's like a whole thing. It's like a whole process.
It's definitely a process. It's one of my favorite and least favorite things to do, is
clean my
keyboard, right?
Yeah, it feels so good when it's done, but it's also like just kind of gross and takes forever, and I don't know, it's weird.
My fingers really start hurting by like the last keys, like when you're just trying to scrub each little, because you're like pinching them all, right? Like they're so small. My fingers really start to like ache when I get deep into that cleaning.
It's a real problem. We're really suffering out here.
Yeah, it's pretty much the biggest issue of our time is
it's the only issue anyone's talking about.
Achy fingers when you're trying to clean your keyboard.
And your mechanical keyboard. Yeah.
All right. So with that out of the way, we got a few stories today. One of them, so in Warzone, which we were just talking about in the games we played section, there's a secret message popping up for people. I didn't see the secret message.
Some Russian brainwashing.
Yeah, I didn't see the secret message, but it kind of, you get like a fuzzy screen and it says, "Know your history."
Whoa.
And some Russian. And
it says it in Russian?
No, it says "Know your history" in English, but then some Russian will pop up.
Okay.
I'm reading a story here that says it translates to "Doom to repeat it."
They must be talking about the Cold War.
That's what everyone assumes, is that we're gonna see Black Ops Cold War as the Treyarch Raven next Call of Duty game. There actually was a Doritos leak that kind of said that that's what was next. So
it's the most Call of Duty thing I've ever heard.
It's
a Doritos leak.
Call of Duty co-branding is the craziest shit, right? Like
it's so bad.
The Mountain Dews and the Dorito, like it is the most
yeah man Agreed. Totally. Especially with, like, Modern Warfare, you know, there's some cool stuff in there, like with the little girl and the bombing and all that. And then I'm imagining, like, if you bought a bunch of Monster Energy drink or Mountain Dew or whatever, and you're like, what the fuck is going on here? It's just bizarre.
Yeah, it's hard to kind of put those together, right? Like, just stocking up on fucking nacho cheesy or Doritos and your fucking Code Reds. And like
sounds good though. Down, I'm not gonna lie.
Sitting down at your PC on Saturday and understanding the nuances of this, girl brutalized by terrorism and occupying forces and global conflict. You know, you're like,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, you're just like crunching away.
Yeah, I might go through a whole bag of fucking Cooler Ranch during that cutscene because that's intense. Yeah. You know. Oh shit.
It's the only thing that makes me feel better.
Yeah. That's. A lot, that's all for that story. Let's move on. So Sega will port more old games to PC after Persona 4 Golden. This story I took from PC gamer Jonathan Boulding. But basically what they're saying is that because Golden had such success on Steam, Sega's really excited to port more of their games to PC, which I think is super exciting. I would love to see 5 on PC. I would love to see just a lot of these games hit PC, all this kind of Atlas stuff. They're talking about maybe Shin Megami Tensei in this article.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I think a few things. Part of me would, it'd be interesting to see Persona 5 on PC. Part of me would be kind of annoyed because I just spent 170 hours on it on PS4. And I don't really know actually what the advantage of it on PC would be. Like, it's not going to run faster. I guess mods, maybe?
Yeah, it would run faster.
I mean, it runs pretty, I guess the load times would be a little bit faster, but it's not like that game has a problem with load times. Performance, it's a PS3 game, initially, so yeah. It's like, it runs fine on the PS4. I can't imagine it would be that much better. I guess higher resolutions, but even that, again, it's like, yeah, it wouldn't be a bad thing, obviously. But what I really am excited about is Persona 3, and again, they haven't said they're porting anything specifically, but if they port Persona 3, that would be amazing. It would be such a, because I've been wanting to play it, I dug out my PS3, but now I'm like, well, I kind of want to wait, because if I could play that in 4K on my, you know, big TV and not have it be all blurry as hell, that would be a really cool way to experience that. So I really have my fingers crossed for that. And then, yeah, their whole other library of stuff, like we've talked about, I'm not familiar with SMT really, but be a cool way to get into it. And also, I'm kind of surprised by just how many copies it sold. It says here it was like 500,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which, it's a great game. I love that game. But considering how kind of old it is, it's a PS2 game, right? And it's ported, and apparently it's a fine port. But even so, the fact that so many people were so hungry to play this game that hadn't already played it was kind of surprising.
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I know it's on Vita mostly, and that's the version most people played. But even so, it's like, I just didn't realize there was such a hunger for that game. And I do think it was smart to only charge $20. Because $60 would be pretty outrageous. I'm sure they still would have sold some copies, but 20 seems much more fair for a PS2 game. A pretty no-frills port of a PS2 game.
Yeah, and I mean, a big part of my concern with this, and I shouldn't call it concern, right? But something that, like, I played the original Persona game, and I think I played Persona 2. I can't even remember because I was so young at the time. But, you know, it all kind of mushes together. But I never played 3. And I will say, going backwards in Persona seems like a bad idea to me. Like, even the leap from 4 to 5 was like, as far as quality of life was so massive,
absolutely,
that I have some fears that going to 3 would be like, this is fucking the worst, you know, like
I agree with that. I do think it's, you're gonna have to definitely change up your mindset and be like, this is an older game and it's not gonna have a lot of the cool stuff, but by all accounts it's still a very compelling story and it has the main basic features that make Persona good. So
yeah,
whereas 1 and 2 don't even really have the social management stuff. That's just not a part of them.
Yeah, that's true. I just like, you know, the depth of it, I think, in 5 is what really gets me, you know? Like, it's such a good excuse to kind of play half visual novel, half RPG, mm-hmm. half Yakuza minigame game. Yep. Like, it's such a good mix. Yeah, it's such a perfect, it's what I like about Yakuza, too.
But they have a lot in common, actually. Yeah. Especially, like, this sort of stylized version of Tokyo, and, some of the sensibilities are similar. I think there's a lot, those two games actually have quite a lot in common.
Yeah, I would, it's funny, I don't remember who or where I saw this, but they're talking about how, like, Yakuza really, like, initially was, it got filled with all these, like, mini games that Sega just had made for other things, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, they weren't intending to make all these for Yakuza, it was just like, people were kind of developing all these like little games and stuff, and they were like, well, let's just pull them all in, you know? So they like put a fishing game in, and they put arcade games in, and they put a batting simulator, you know? I feel like Persona now has gotten a lot of that too, and I just think it's so great. It's so fun. It makes the world feel so big. I'm just excited to see more stuff from Sega on PC.
Yeah, I think it's cool. And again, this is a good example of like, hey, the more cross-platform, the better, really. Like, if people are making more money porting to different consoles or PC, that's great news for everyone. Like, I'm very excited about that. The fewer exclusives, the better, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I am surprised it did so well, though. But, yeah, good for them.
Yeah, totally.
So, next story, I don't even think we're going to talk about this, but Suicide Squad game announced by Rocksteady. I don't care about Suicide Squad at all. Do you care about Suicide Squad at all?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. They've done some cool stuff in, like, the animation. It all just depends on how they pull it off. Like, I think that Batman game they made, or those Batman games, were very good. So I think they could do a really cool job. I'm not a huge DC fan. I'm not like super stoked about this, but yeah, I don't know. If someone's gonna make a Suicide Squad game, it should probably be them, I guess, is what I'm saying.
I wish they were doing something different, right? I feel like those Batman games were good but similar throughout. You know, they were definitely sequels of themselves, right? They weren't. I did not find them that inventive, right?
I think that's fair.
I think they did a good job designing a combat system in the first game that everyone kind of used after the fact.
Yeah.
But outside of that, I wasn't that into it. I know a lot of people really like those games. I'm not a huge Batman fan, so yeah. I'm not really the guy to ask. I wish they were just doing something different. I feel like this is going to be another Batman game. You know what I mean? Because it's just another DC comic book property. And I find that a little disappointing. I do not like when studios are trapped in a franchise their whole lives and we never get to see like what they could make if they were allowed to like make something. And I feel like they've definitely proven that they're good at making games, right? But maybe this is what they want to do, right? Maybe they know this is where the money is and, you know, this is just kind of how they want to operate, but
and maybe they will push it in a very different direction. I mean, we don't know. Like, just because it's the same license doesn't mean they can't make a very different game if they want to.
Yeah, I guess we'll see when it comes out.
Yeah,
I'm just not a fan of Suicide Squad either. I think it's the premise is so flawed.
Yeah.
As far
it's
as
good name though
storytelling, it is a good name. All right, so we got a couple more stories. These are a little bigger. The first thing we're gonna go over is the State of Play August 2020. Neither of us watched this nor really cared.
I honestly didn't even know it was happening, and I try and pay pretty close attention, so that's kind of funny.
I had heard inklings of it. Like, I knew it was coming this week, but, you know, I don't think that they were positioning this to be, like, some big event. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, if it contained about what you would expect to contain, I'm just going to read through IGN's, like, breakdown of it. This was written by Jordan Serrani, PlayStation State of Play, August 2020, every game announced and revealed. I'm going to run through them real quick just so we get them out there. Crash Bandicoot 4, new mode, playable character announced. Great.
Don't care.
Hitman Trilogy to be playable in PSVR. That's cool. I'm not a VR guy. You know, I had PSVR for a long time. I think VR is missing a lot. As far as being, you know, a word.
Well, I think things like this are actually not bad because they're not, you know, they're not required to, they're not made in VR. So it's more just like a kind of a slightly different way to play a traditional game. I think it can actually work well for that. It's more just like, hey, if you already have your set hooked up, it's not going to push forward VR in any meaningful way, as far as I know.
Yeah.
But it's kind of just like as a free bonus, it's kind of cool.
Yeah. I think the VR's biggest problem is that the best thing about having VR is like, showing it to people, like you don't even like to play it at some point. You're just like, oh, someone's coming over, I'm gonna put the headset on them and they're gonna be stoked on it for 2 hours, right? But outside of that, I'm gonna leave it in my closet because it's a
pain. That's so accurate. I was thinking after reading this, I was like, I should hook up my PSVR. Oh, my mom's coming to visit, that'd be fun.
Mm-hmm.
But it's literally in my closet, I'm looking at it right now. So you couldn't be more accurate.
Yeah, it's just, you know, there's just no good way, or you know, and it's just not realistic to think you're gonna like sit down at your desk or go into your extra VR room, right, and like strap on the headset and play a few hours of games, you know, every few days or something, right? It's just,
yeah,
no one
for the average person, I think that's pretty unlikely.
And very few people have the ability or the mental capability to just like disappear from the world for a few hours, you know?
Yeah.
Like it's hard. It's, but yeah. Hitman.
That's a cool, it's a cool little bonus though.
Yeah, no, it is. If I had PSVR, I'd be excited about that. Braid Anniversary Edition announced, an upgraded version of Braid, for PS4, PS5. It's just high.
Sounds like it's
high resolution.
High resolution.
They hand they pan painted it again, right? So, so it should look nice. But
that game was cool and it has one of the best soundtracks I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's definitely a very nice, stylish game. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good.
I wasn't that into playing it, but it was very pretty and it was fun to tool around in. Spelunky 2 release date announced. I watched some of the Spelunky 2 gameplay. Spelunky is one of those games I wish I liked because it seems cool.
Yeah.
But every time I play it for 10 minutes and I'm just like, what the fuck is this game? Like, you know, it just never, it never works right for me, you know? So that's exciting though. I know Spelunky has a really, a community that's very into Spelunky and.
Yeah, totally. No, I mean, I've never played it. I know very little about it, except that there definitely has a passionate fan base. So to all you Spelunky fans, I'm excited for you.
Yep. Vader Immortal PSVR release date. This game looked terrible. When it came out for Oculus. It's basically you just stand still and swing your lightsaber around at things as they come to you. Lame.
Yeah, it seems like pretty half-assed. Like, what's the simplest Star Wars game we can make in VR? Ooh.
Yeah, I feel like someone made it like as a like a proof of concept, and you know, someone saw, like, let's sell this, you know, like,
it's, yeah, totally. You're right. They're like, hey, we could throw it, we can get the license, throw some new skins in there, and we got a game.
Yeah, it's fucking gross. Control expansion, Control AWE expansion dated. The second Control expansion will be released August 27th. So that's cool. People really like Control. I didn't really get a chance to play it.
I'm really excited to play Control. This is one I haven't felt this way in a while, but this is a game where I'm really waiting for the 30 series GPU because I do want to play it with ray tracing. It's such a like a technological sort of milestone, I think, in a lot of ways, at least for that technology.
Yeah.
That it looks right up my alley as far as aesthetically and the story. I'm really excited to play it, but I refuse to play it until I can play it sort of how it was best designed. So this is a game that as soon as I get a 30 series card or whatever it is, this will be the first game I buy. So it's cool they see that they're still releasing expansions, and this idea of it being an Alan Wake crossover is very interesting. I really like Remedy. I think they're always doing some neat stuff. So, yeah, this is great. The more expansions, the more excited I'll be when I finally get to play it.
Are you an Alan Wake fan?
Yeah, I have mixed feelings about it. I think it's a fascinating game and a really interesting game. It's certainly not the best game to play, but it's very unique, and I think it's unlike any game I've ever played. Both good and bad. So I would say I definitely like it and respect it. I did try and play it, like, I think last year, I was like, I should install it. And I was like, no, I'm not playing this again. So I don't love it as a game, but I really think it's cool. Yeah, that's how I describe it. I think it's a really cool game, but I don't really want to play it, if that makes sense.
I have a friend that loves Alan Wake, and I have never understood wanting to, like, keep replaying that game. You know what I mean? Like, it's so...
Yeah.
It's
definitely rough. I enjoyed going through it once, and I like reading about it, and I do think there's a lot in that game, but it's certainly not a gameplay marvel by any means.
No. Okay, so Temtem is coming to PS5. That's the fake Pokemon game that I paid money for and didn't really play. But it's like a Pokemon MMO. I should actually jump in. I bet they've expanded it a lot.
I was about to say, you should. Why not? If you already paid for it, it'd be fun to hop in there.
I bet they've changed it a lot, too, so... You know, it was very when I bought it, it was very early access. I'm sure they've added a lot of stuff. I should check it out. Hood Outlaws and Legends announced for PS5. This is a strange. I don't know. Like, I didn't watch the trailer. Just that name of it is.
Well, and just reading this description, which is again, this is on IGN. It says Hood Outlaws and Legends has been announced for PS5. Set during Britain's Dark Ages, Hood is a third person 4v4 multiplayer heist game that developer Sumo Newcastle calls a, quote, dark and gritty reimagining of the Robin Hood legend. I'm like, oh no,
that's gonna be a fucking trash game.
That is a description that really makes me not want to play it. That said, I didn't watch the trailer, and maybe it's great, but I hope that their messaging can change a little bit on it, because as it is, that sounds like everything wrong with video games right now.
Well, and all of these like small scale kind of like multiplayer like objective games, I just don't think they work very well. Like, you know, I feel like people are looking for the magic that like kind of Siege captured, you know, with like a shooter, but I don't think people realize that For One Siege took a long time to build an audience, you know,
very long time.
And, yeah. And it's more like Siege is more like a traditional shooter, you know, than you'd expect, I guess, from the outside. Right. It's like, no, you're doing these objectives, but it's still a shooter, you know? And whenever I see these like small scale, like kind of, I don't want to call them multiple, but like arena games, but arena as in like you're in a zone 4-on-4, you got to do something. It just, it never works. Cause a lot of people aren't playing as groups, you know, like,
yeah, totally.
And this kind of shit just sucks to play, solos, right? Like,
agreed.
And yeah, I don't know why people keep thinking that's gonna like people.
And also, Siege had Ubisoft behind it. Like,
yeah,
you know, they had money, and that game is not simple. I'd imagine a very long time to build. And then, yeah, to your point, even when it came out, nobody liked it, and they kept working on it because they had the money, because they had Ubisoft backing it, and they had the opportunity to turn it into something incredible. But that's not a good model for the average studio, you know?
Yeah, and if you don't have friends, you can just play it like a shooter. You know what I mean? Like, time to kill so fast. That like,
yeah,
you know, you can win 1v5s and stuff in Siege, and I promise you Hood, Outlaws, and Legends is going to have slow time to kills, right? Like, it's not going to be that game. It's just not, you know, but
yeah,
I don't, this looks bad. So as the PS5 evangelist, I am giving them a thumbs down on Hood fucking
well, just Outlaws. Just this messaging.
Yeah, just
you could see why it was not included in their main state of play.
No, but just don't let them show this. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm Sony and they're like, here's our trailer, I'd be like, no. You know, like...
No, I don't think I will.
No, I'll...
Let you show this.
I'll show the Crash Bandicoot one, but not this shit, right? Like, this isn't the message I want to put out. Yeah. Bugsnax gameplay overview they showed. Godfall gameplay preview. I also think Godfall looks like quite a miss, right? Which is sad because it's something, it's the kind of game I should really like, you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of a melee Destiny type thing with you know, a bunch of armors and weapons. Yeah, it's
kind of like kind of Warframe vibes.
Yeah, but I just, every time I see the game, I'm like, this does not fulfill like that power fantasy at all, you know?
Yeah.
And it's trying so hard to be exactly that power fantasy, but then you look and the enemies kind of take a lot of damage, and you know, and you're just like, I should just be chopping everything's heads off and just like running through, like almost like a Musou game, right? And it just doesn't, it just doesn't seem like that's what it is. And I find that very disappointing.
Yeah, I agree. It does not look terribly compelling.
Yeah, there's a bunch of other trailers here. Auto Chess, a Pedestrian, Genshin Impact.
Yeah.
I know this Aeon Must Die one had a lot of controversy around it. We don't really need to get into that, but I don't remember the details. I just saw it on Twitter that one studio said they stole that game from another studio.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was very dramatic. Very.
There's skullduggery afoot.
Very saucy. So we'll see how that plays out, but. All in all, this was about as exciting as it seemed like it should have been based on how much they promoted it, right? They got some stuff out.
Sort of a slow drip.
Yeah.
Like, here's some more stuff. We're still doing it.
They got some info out they wanted to. Expectations seemed very low, and they were at least...
I don't think it hurt anything.
No, they were adequately met. You know what I mean? I'll be honest. If this was an Xbox thing, I probably would have talked shit about it more. But I think in a lot of ways, like, they kind of earned a little reprise after their last announcement. So, I think Sony can kind of get away with like, all right, here's a little in between softball, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like if the next thing Microsoft puts out is something like this, they'll be in more trouble after their last one, you know?
Yeah, and I also think if PlayStation put out another thing that's like this, I might be like, okay, come on.
Yeah, I agree, right? Like, you can kind of have a big one and a little one and a big one and a little one. But if you start stringing along little ones or having a bad big one and then a little one, then you're not, like, you're missing, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so the last story, the headline story, the coup de grace here. Dr. Disrespect is back.
He's back, everybody.
So, I don't believe he has a contract with YouTube. It's not like an exclusive deal. But he streamed on YouTube on Friday. I jumped in and actually watched because it was so interesting. It was huge. He had 500,000 people in his stream. 510,000, I think, was the peak, which crushed what Ninja did on YouTube in his like return stream.
Yeah.
He was like just making money and subs like nonstop the whole time. It was pretty insane. He did talk about like his ban from Twitch. Basically he said he has not been told why he was banned, and that he quote unquote doesn't know why he was banned. I'm sure he has an idea why he was banned, right? But
it's hard for me to believe someone with like a team of lawyers and like there's got to be some clue. I highly doubt there's been no communication on whatsoever. I don't know for sure, but that seems unlikely.
I mean, I believe that there's been no communication from Twitch, but I don't believe that he has some kind of like no idea about like what happened. But he did say like, you know, he was part of a big contract and, you know, legal teams kind of have to hash out, you know, the details before he can like talk about anything. So, you know, I think it's he's kind of implying that he's got an idea, but you know, shit's got to get figured out right before before he can talk about it, where anybody can talk about anything. But stream was huge. I mean, like I said, 510 was the peak, and then
that's crazy. That's so many people.
So many people.
500,000 people. That's nuts.
It's nuts. But then it kind of settled down after the beginning, right? Because, you know, a lot of people wanted to hear what he had to say. But even then, he had 350,000 for most of the stream, right? Like,
wow.
Like it was crazy. It was an insane amount of people. And the stream wasn't bad. I watched basically the whole thing. He was Dr. Disrespect, right? He played Warzone. He yelled when he got killed. You know, he called people pussies. Like, it's exactly what you'd expect from a Dr. Disrespect stream. I do think it's funny. I saw some stories like on Kotaku and stuff, kind of like, I don't know, like kind of implying that he doesn't deserve his success or that somehow he's a bad person for what he did on Twitch, even though we don't know what it is, you know, like, which I think is so strange. You know, I think these kind of hot takes of like, I can't believe people watch him or you know, he must have done something wrong, and I just, you know, it's so funny. I feel like these are the same people that would call you a bootlicker for, you know, for a myriad of reasons, and they're just so they're so heart set on kind of talking him down. And I don't know, I think he makes a good product. I think it's entertaining that he does something in that medium that is different and interesting, you know.
Yeah, the numbers don't lie, right? I mean, that's not to say everyone who's successful. I mean, I guess that's a very big conversation because there's a lot of people who are immensely successful who I absolutely detest and wish they were not successful. But that's not how reality works, obviously.
Yeah.
And like saying this person doesn't deserve success is pretty hollow and meaningless statement that actually doesn't mean anything.
No.
Because you're basically saying, why doesn't everyone view this the same way I do?
Yeah. Yeah, agreed. And, you know, I feel like streaming in general is such a underutilized platform. You know, I feel like so few people are doing it in a way like Dr. Disrespect does and really making a show and kind of developing like a persona there
and experimenting a little bit.
Yeah, and experimenting and doing something cool. You know, I kind of applaud him for that, even if it's not the best character or he's not the best person, you know, behind the scenes or whatever. I think people could learn a lot by getting out of their heads and kind of embracing the fact that like what he does is interesting and different, you know?
Yeah, no, totally. I think there's no question that he has had a pretty substantial impact on streaming as a whole, like as a business, both from a business perspective, and then, yeah, to your point, as far as like what a stream can actually be. And this is coming from someone who's, I don't think I've ever seen a stream of his ever, so I have no real opinion either way on him as a streamer or as a person. I don't care, which I think is kind of a useful perspective. But what I do care about is the fact that comes up all the time in these conversations. He's making people talk about it, and then there's no question that he's kind of pushed streaming in some interesting directions that is valuable. And even if you don't like him, there's no question that he's been hugely influential. And I think as one of these early successful wave of streamers, we'll probably go down in history as, like, I have no idea what streaming is going to look like in 10 years, but, you know, he's at the forefront of turning it into what it is today. And that's not something that can be discounted, regardless of your opinion on him as a person or even at his product as a content creator.
What I think is so funny too is, like, you see other streamers doing like similar things. Like, I remember seeing, like, for Sea of Thieves, there's this like pirate streamer guy, right? And he would like dress like a pirate and have like a pirate theme in the back, and it was cool. And no disrespect to him, I thought he was doing a good job. He made money, like he was a fairly popular streamer, but it was always campy when he did it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like the way that Dr. Disrespect has found a way to kind of escape the camp of what he's doing, you know what I mean? I think is really so interesting because it is campy and stupid, right? But it's like so surreal that it's kind of broken through that. And I think that's, and just as far as like, you know, art in general or trying to kind of create something, I find that so interesting and such a fine line, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, totally. And like I said, those numbers don't lie. Everyone wanted to see what he was up to.
Yeah, he's definitely...
There's a reason for that.
Part of the consciousness of streaming and just video games, right? Like, just the culture of video games in a way.
Yeah.
It's so interesting. All right, the last thing I wanted to bring up, and I don't know, I know some people are very mad about this Marvel Avengers game and Sony getting the Spider-Man exclusive. Have you heard about this?
Yeah, I don't understand the debate, because to me it seems like people are like, it's anti-consumer, and I completely don't understand that argument at all, so maybe you could fill me in. I haven't really waded in, I've just seen the headlines and been confused, because what I'm hearing is Spider-Man's going to be only on PlayStation because Sony is tied to the Spider-Man license.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So what the fuck is everyone complaining about? Like, what's the issue here? Like, how is this a surprise or in any way controversial?
It's not, they're fucking babies. I agree.
Is that all it is? Like, there's no
like twist. There's no like reasoning.
Yeah, like, but, if you want a Sony character, you have to buy a Sony console. Like, it'd be like if they have Master Chief, which wouldn't make any sense. But you know what I mean? Like, I would not expect them to release it on a Sony console.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah, I don't understand. Like, you know, I get it because Spider-Man's not like, it's not like Sony invented Spider-Man, right? Like,
yeah.
So I.
Yeah. Yeah. True.
I can see kind of where it is a little different than Master Chief in that sense, but regardless,
yeah, that's a good point.
Regardless, like, Sony would have to sign off on this, right? And they just won't. You know what I mean? Like, I know he was in the Switch Ultimate Alliance game, right? Probably because Sony doesn't care that he's on Switch Ultimate Alliance, but
yeah, because they're not really a competitor.
No, not really. And I think Sony's, you know, fine with kind of playing ball with Nintendo, right?
Yeah,
but if anything has been proven, is Microsoft and Sony aren't that interested in playing ball, and I just,
despite Phil Spencer's noble efforts,
well,
to try and get them to host Xbox Live on the PlayStation,
I don't think Phil Spencer's making efforts. I think he's making.
I know.
I think he's making statements he can't back up publicly.
Exactly.
To try and like put pressure on Sony, which is all the more reason why Sony won't play ball, right? Like. Yeah. Like, if Sony was out there just, like making statements that Microsoft would never support as some kind of, like, backhanded way to, like, throw shade, you know, it's like, yeah, Microsoft would be pissed about it, you know? I like Phil Spencer, don't get me wrong. And I think...
Me too.
I think throwing shade and being petty
is... I think he's good at his job.
Yeah. I think being petty is fun. And I think having that more in marketing is interesting and kind of exciting. But don't get it twisted, right? Like, he's looking out for Xbox and Microsoft. I don't know. I don't understand the kind of craziness around this or why anyone's upset or thinks it's weird in any way. It's everyone's paying for exclusives, right? Maybe not like specific in-game exclusives like this, even though a lot of times they do, but exclusive games, exclusive franchises, exclusive releases, buying indie games, buying studios, like that's what this industry is, you know? And to somehow like think that this is the fucking line is...
Yeah, that's the part I don't understand. It's like, I think there's a willingness to have the discussion about, yeah, exclusivity and like, you know, there's it's a complicated conversation we had, but yeah, to your point, the fact that this is what pushed people too far seems utterly bizarre to me.
It's just childish.
Yeah.
You know, like it's so
strange.
It's so childish. It's so like immature and naive to be like, I can't believe they went this far, you know? It's just like, shut the fuck up, man. Like,
well, yeah, and also like, you know, the Spider-Man game was exclusive to the PlayStation.
Yeah.
Were people upset about that? That's an entire game that you can't play on Xbox.
I'm sure they were upset. You know what I mean? Like,
it's just strange. I don't get it.
It is really strange. So I mean, we'll see. I just I guess we won't see. It's coming out on PlayStation, so fuck off. If you don't have a PlayStation, you don't get to play it. Good news, guys. I watched some gameplay from that game. It looks like shit. So
I don't think you're missing out. By all accounts, it sounds pretty terrible.
No one's going to care once this game releases that Spider-Man's only on PlayStation, because that game looks fucking trash. So
yeah.
So who cares? All right? That's all I got to say. Who cares?
Glad we solved that one.
Yeah, and stop being fucking babies about everything. Okay? Fucking internet. Get over it. Leo, is there anything else you want to talk about before we get out of here today?
I wanted to mention real quick the sort of the controversy, or maybe that's a strong word, but the disparity in experience with the Horizon Zero Dawn PC port.
So controversial.
Yeah, this is a game you and I have talked a lot about. We love it. We've been talking about how cool it'll be to see it on PC, but I guess my two sort of points of reference were, like, Rock Paper Shotgun's hardware editor, Catherine Castle, did a breakdown of how amazing the port was and how she had no issues running it on, like, a 1060 and, like, low end. She said it was flawless performance. And then she had to follow that up with an article that was like, but apparently other people are having problems, including Digital Foundry, who did a breakdown of how fucked up the port was. So I don't really know what the answer is there. It's just people have different experiences. Maybe it was a different build of the game. I don't think so, though. I mean, it was a press build. Maybe it depends on who knows. But it was very interesting to hear this huge disparity in experience from the same port with different people. So I don't know. I'm sure it's fine. I'm sure they'll patch it. I'm sure they'll fix it. It does sound like it's not nearly as elegant a port as Death Stranding. For example, the cutscenes are still 16:9, even in widescreen, whereas Death Stranding, they redid all the cutscenes, which is interesting because Horizon Zero Dawn is so much older. Maybe that's part of why they didn't like want to go back and dive back in all that code or something. I don't know, but I was surprised to hear that, especially since they're all working on the sequel, that it's, you know, it's clearly, even if it's a fine port, it's inferior to the Death Stranding port.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know. It was just interesting to read about, and it was a little disappointing sounding just because I have no huge desire to play that game again right now. But, you know, good PC ports are always, I'm always in favor of those.
Yeah, I think a big part of it, too, is, you know, I think with Death Stranding, like, they had to know it was coming to PC when they were at least, like, finishing it up, right? So
that's a good point.
They were a little more, like, aware of what would be expected coming out of it. I feel like
they could plan ahead a little bit.
Yeah, the Horizon team has moved on. You know what I mean? Like, like they're not that concerned, or, you know, they weren't designing these things to run on PC to support all these, you know, ultra high frame rates and resolutions. And you know, who knows like what they were like saving these like rendered cutscenes in, or, you know, like what versions they still have like originals of. So
that's true.
You know, it's I think it's just a different scenario. I do think it sucks if you bought it on PC and it doesn't perform well for you, because, you know, I have been, you know, very supportive of this game, and I've been telling everyone to buy it, and I've been, you know, excited for more people to get a chance to play it, which I still am. Hopefully you can hold tight if yours isn't performing well for a patch. I assume it's coming. But yeah, I do think it's a shame that they kind of marred this launch with performance issues.
Especially when Death Stranding, by all accounts, was a very solid PC port.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the bright side is that it does show that they can probably sort out like where the differences is and why this engine is working well in one case and not the other. This isn't the first time this engine is hitting PC, and they're, you know, it's all unknowns, you know.
Yeah,
but
that's true.
Death Stranding had a lot of really modern like systems in play, right? Like on the display side and the GPU drivers that I don't know if Horizon has. Like I haven't, I'd have to watch Digital Foundry's videos, but I would assume a lot of their complaints are the fact that, you know, a lot of the things that Death Stranding supports as far as like resolution scaling and, you know, might not be, that might not be in Horizon. You know what I mean? Like yeah. that might be a part of like why the game isn't nearly as polished as what Death Stranding was when it came to PC.
Yeah, that's true. And also to your point as well, like Horizon Zero Dawn, correct me if I'm wrong, was the first game in that engine.
Yeah.
So it was like, you know, they were figuring that shit out anyway, and Death Stranding had all the learnings from Horizon Zero Dawn. I know they're not the same studio, but you know, I assume there's shared documentation or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's true too. Like they already, it was probably already easier to use the, what's it called? The Decima engine?
Decima, yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I don't know. That's a good point is, hey, this is the first game ever. And then having, and it was designed exclusively for the PS4 for a long time. And then now they're having to take the first build using this engine and put it on PC. Yeah, that makes perfect sense why it would have been a bigger challenge than a game that already had the benefit of them knowing how to work with it. And then also you're probably right about it. I'm sure they knew PC was coming so they could put in logistical, proactive, you know, thinking about that
yeah.
before porting it.
And Kojima's not balls deep in a Death Stranding 2 right now. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I think yeah. that's also...
As far as we know.
Well, even if they are, they're not nearly as close to release as
yeah,
Horizon is, absolutely. Right? Like, they are in a time right now as far as getting that game ready. So,
yeah,
you know,
course.
They I just don't think they could devote the time or attention to it that Kojima was able to with Death Stranding. And it shows, yep. you know, and I think that's a shame, but that's kind of the position they've been put in trying to get this out on PC. And, you know, hopefully it all gets resolved when everyone, it's copacetic for everybody.
Yeah. And I think by all accounts, it's not like a broken port by any means. It's just, it, you know, it's not quite where it should be. So if you've never played it, you don't have a PS4, I don't think you'd regret buying it. It just, you might not be able to take full advantage of everything quite yet, but hopefully they'll fix it.
Yeah.
Still, it's still an incredible game that's worth playing, even if it's, you know, only 60 frames per second instead of 120.
Yeah. So play Horizon. It's a great game. I love
it. It sure is.
All right. With that, we're going to call it a day. Thank you guys so much for listening to us. We really appreciate it. We love you all. Tech Yeah Podcast on Twitter, on Facebook. TechYapPodcast.com is our website. TechYapPodcast@gmail.com is our email if you want to send us any lovely letters or hate
yeah.
mail. We'll take hate mail too.
Tech Yeah, yeah, podcast.com is our Master Chief fan site.
Yeah, yeah, you can see all the sick Master Chief JPEGs if you go to techyeahpodcast.com. Thank you guys. We love you. Leo, you want to say anything to our beautiful listeners before we go?
I just want to say, as we always have, I hope everyone stays safe and play some games this week.
Yeah, play some fucking games, dude. We'll be right back.